on Racing HQ.
Racing HQ.
Racing HQ. Here's On the Pace.
Smolder lifting too strong. Smolder. The Kiwi has won the Endomainian.
But it is all Lazarus clear of Tiger Tara. And once again, Lazarus has arisen.
25 to 11 on the pace with Greg Hayes. Morning, Greg.
Good morning to you, Cozzy. We've got a show this morning to have a look at the big racing coming up at Menangle on Saturday night with the Breeders' Challenge semi-finals kicking off. We've got the two-year-old Colts and Geldings go around, the two-year-old Fillies going around, and we've also got the four-year-old Mares competing in the semi-finals. So plenty to look forward to. We'll have a full look at that card. Gavin Lang is going to join me on the program this morning. He's going to drive Heaven's Trend in a semi-final for the four-year-old Mares. She's been one of the top performers in her age bracket right throughout her career. So we'll have a chat to Gavin about her, and also want to have a chat to Darren Elder this morning. Darren's got a really nice two-year-old by the name of Bright Energy. He's only had the one run. He goes around in the semi-finals of the Breeders' Challenge on Saturday night, and he debuted with a 13-metre victory in 154.9. He since had a trial at Menangle, trialled there on the 30th of May, and ran second in a mile rate of 155.4. But he's a son of Western Terror, and I thought we'd catch up a little bit later on with Darren Elder and find out more about that two-year-old as well. I spent the weekend in New Zealand for the Harness Jewels, and what a meeting it was. 9 Group 1 races. A couple of Aussies made the trip across to compete, and it was good to see the Aussies perform so well. But a fantastic afternoon of racing all around, and Mick Guerin is joining me from New Zealand to have a chat about the afternoon. Morning, Mick.
Yeah, morning, Hazy. Big hi to all your listeners around New South Wales and other places around Australia. And look, I thought both the Aussies, one Muthu Hill and the two-year-old Trot and Mr. Mojito and the four-year-old were very good. And one Muthu Hill went within a head of becoming the first ever Australian-trained winner of a Jewels in its 11-year history.
We've got to be getting closer. Well, we are obviously getting closer to that first winner. Performances like we saw on the weekend, it's got to encourage more Australians to consider setting their horses for the race.
Well, I tell you what happens. I've actually worked this out. It's taken me a while, Hazy, because I'm not the smartest. But the Jewels actually fits them pretty well for Australian horses who are bought out of New Zealand. You buy a horse, you bring it across. Obviously, it's not eligible sometimes for the Breeders' Challenge or the Big Bread and that sort of thing. More importantly, by this stage of the season, as crazy as it sounds, a lot of the Australian age group horses haven't had a lot of hard racing. They don't tend to start their hard racing till sort of the Victoria Derby series, which is late January into early February. Then they have the New South Wales Derby. The Fillies have the Oaks in Victoria. But there's not a whole bunch of really stringent series so far. You had the APGs for the two-year-olds, but it's not the hardest series in the world. So the New Zealand horses, though, they start in September. They have the Sire Stakes, the Sale Series. They race through the New Zealand Derby, the Northern Derby, racing predominantly against better horses. So, Hazy, it's a nice option for people who buy horses in New Zealand, then take them to Australia, or horses who you think, okay, I want to have a 2 or 3 race campaign, go to the New Zealand Oaks, which Spectacular is going to do. I'm absolutely sure an Australian will win a Jewels. And I think this year, the really good two-year-old out of Victoria, had he come, I would have think he would have been as good as the New Zealand two-year-olds we saw win the other day.
Who was the standout horse for you? I think everyone was talking about the performance of Heaven Rocks after what he did in his Jewels. But what was your highlight of the day?
I think the horse, he was one of two absolute standouts. The other one was Spanish Amada. Spanish Amada is a three-year-old filly who's right in the zone. You consider she's thrashing, not just beating, thrashing Party On, who was too good for Spectacular in the New South Wales Oaks and won the Breeders' Crown. She's in a very good crop, and most of that crop's coming to Australia. Delightful Memphis, who ran second in that race, is on a plane today. Now, she's heading to Sydney. She'll be based in Sydney as part of Mark Jones's mini satellite stable. Spanish Amada and Party On will go to Queensland, where they could meet Delightful Memphis July 8th in the Queensland Oaks. And there's a couple of others heading across there because they've been sold. So all of a sudden, you think of Spectacular and Miss Graceland and what good fillies they are. We're going to have a vintage crop of three-year-old fillies racing in races like the Queensland Oaks and the Breeders' Crown. So Delightful Memphis not eligible for the Breeders' Crown, but she just worked away to the lead, smashed them, and it came off the back of two huge winning performances at Addington. At the moment, she's racing as good as any three-year-old filly I've seen in New Zealand since probably Adore Me 4 years ago, which puts her on a par so far at this stage with Dream About Me, her champion stablemate of last season.
So what did the stable say about her? Obviously, her performances on the track are massive, but Mark's pretty good with his wraps. If he really likes one, he's normally spot on.
Look, she's a funny horse. She wears spreaders, which is unusual for a horse of that quality. But that's perfect for a track like Menangle further down her career. The most important thing is three-year-old fillies now, you've got to keep coming for the very obvious reason. If you come back as a four-year-old Hazy, next season in the Mears races, you've got to take on Dream About Me, Piccadilly Princess, and the Orange Agent. So there's no point taking on the older horses. Go as deep as you can into your three-year-old season and half right the four-year-old season up at the back end of the season, being maybe the four-year-old jewels. There just aren't any races, Hazy, for four-year-old mares or any sustainably big races over $100,000. So I think these horses will go deep into the season. Most of Mark Purden's two-year-olds won't come. The horse who will also come to Victoria is Ingheim. He's now won the four major three-year-old trotting races in New Zealand. He didn't trot perfectly the other day, but he was still good enough to win the Harness Jewels. And to win the Harness Jewels when you're not at your peak is a very big deal. So Ingheim, trained by Greg and Nina Hope of Mon Bay fame, he'll head to the Breeders' Crown in Victoria, stopping him for the Victoria Derby on the way through. Having seen the three-year-old trotters over there, that's a pretty big problem. Even more problematic, President Royden, who's in the All-Stars barn, who ran second to him, only beaten a half a neck, is also coming to Australia. So the first two out of the three-year-old trots coming en masse for the Victoria Derby and the Breeders' Crown. And that's probably not the news that the trainer for three-year-old trotters in Australia want to hear, Hazy.
I think you're spot on. Just with back to Heaven Rocks for one moment, will we see him in Australia? Mark and Natalie just seem like they want to keep him at home, keep him happy for as long as they can before they bite the bullet and say, righto, we've got to get him over to Oz and race for their money.
Well, I don't see a good race for him in Australia, apart from maybe the Miracle Mile. And even then, you're talking a horse of no gate speed. So obviously he couldn't go to Perth. The way he hangs, he just would be useless around Perth, and he has no gate speed. So then you start saying, well, where does he end up further into that? I'm tipping Hazy. There still could be some changes at the head of the Australian racing calendar next season. I wouldn't be surprised to see a couple of these races move around. I don't know that for sure, but I think that's in the offing. That would suggest maybe February, a Hunter Cup might be the race for him, but is Melton really going to be his track? The big track at Menangle is the obvious. The Miracle Mile is the obvious. But can you afford to be giving starts to Lenny the Shark, to Lazarus, to Hector JJ, to Bling It On, blah, blah, blah? I mean, it's impossible to see a horse sitting parked and winning those races against that opposition. So Heaven Rocks has some challenges. His lack of gate speed and lack of tractability may see him spend a lot more time in New Zealand than Australia next season. But, Hazy, he may grow. He may develop a little bit. But those tendencies to get things wrong concern me, because they're the same tendencies we saw in Have Faith in Me 2 years ago. And that's the reason I believe Have Faith in Me hasn't gone on to be the horse we thought he might be.
With the future of the jewels, obviously you're about between Ashburton and also at Cambridge. Will it just be those two venues forever?
I would like to see them rejuvenate it, go somewhere different. Southland is a very rich harness racing area in New Zealand, rich in tradition. I think most people who have wanted to go to the jewels have been to Cambridge or Ashburton there. And if you go somewhere different, people go, okay, that's a bit of fun. I quite enjoy that. I think the day works. I think for it to work better, they need the stakes for the pacing races at $150,000 to go to $200,000. Money talks. And my attitude would be this. I would suggest that rather than having Australian invites, I would say any horse who's won a Group 1 race in Australia this season who wants to come will get a start. So you can say if you've won your Breeders' Challenge, hasn't happened yet, but if you win the Victoria Derby or the New South Wales Derby, you can come. Because that way people are more likely to win a big race, Hazy, and go, oh, okay, that qualifies you for the jewels, let's go. They're still Group 1s. the idea that it's based on stakes won in New Zealand, to me, is slightly archaic from the old days. Group ones should be about getting the best horses available to race. And I think if Australian trainers knew that a victory in an earlier season group one would get them in the duels, it would put it more on their radar than it is now. So, but the bottom line is, it all comes down to money. If they get to $200,000 and you can add in a couple of those races in May at Addington on the way through, the trip starts to make a whole lot more sense.
Mate, thanks very much for your time this morning. It was great to work with you on Saturday. The coverage coming back to Australia was well received, and look forward to catching up with you again very soon.
It was a pleasure, mate. Good luck to all your listeners on the punt, Hazy.
And there he is, Mick Guerin, joining me from New Zealand to have a chat. So, interesting. Obviously, the Jules has been around for 11 years, and Divisive went very close in year one to winning for Australia. We haven't had... Well, we've had no winners, but we haven't had a lot of success over the years. Obviously, Saturday was a good return with One Muscle Hill finishing second and narrowly beaten. Nicole Melander was so happy with the performance of her runner. And then we saw Mr. Mojito in the four-year-old behind Heaven Rocks do such a strong job off a very short campaign for Kieran Manning and Grant Campbell. It's interesting. Obviously, timing is so important, and Mick mentioned that there because, you know, the Breeders' Challenge Series is well and truly underway in New South Wales. The VicBred is about to kick off. You've got the Queensland Winter Carnival, you know, 3 or 4 weeks away, and it makes it tough to say, righto, well, we're going to miss our local feature races and go across to New Zealand and take on their best and take on their best trainers on their home patch. So it's a really interesting debate, and how they get more Australians interested in going across to the Jewels to compete is one for the administrators, and I've got no doubt that we're going to see more Australians head across and try and win the Jewels for this country. We've got a fantastic meeting at Menangle on Saturday night. It is going to be 11 races. The first, it kicks off before 5 o'clock. But we see semi-finals of the Breeders' Challenge for the 4-year-old mares, the 2-year-old colts and geldings, and the 2-year-old fillies. Star mare Heaven's Trend is back in town. We haven't seen her for quite some time. The last time we saw her here was 12 months ago. She finished third in the Breeders' Challenge final as a 3-year-old after winning her semi. And on that occasion, she finished third behind a Rock Me Mama. She wasn't beaten far, and she started a short price favourite in the race. Gavin Lang is her driver, and he's joining me to have a chat on the show. Morning, Gav.
Yes, good morning, Greg.
Mate, Heaven's Trend. She does like Menangle. She's got a good record there, and her form this season's been really good.
It has indeed, yeah. Probably last year as a 3-year-old, maybe. I mean, I know she won some good races, and but maybe wasn't quite as dominant as what she promised to be as a 2-year-old. But this year or this term, she's really come back well, and yeah, looks well graded.
Just having a look at her performances through February, March, April at Melton, like she's. She won there in 154.3. She ran third there in the Jodie's Bay, beating a metre in 153.3. She ran second there, going 153.1. She was beaten a metre. She's like the times are there. She's always been a fast filly, but she looks a much more consistent mare now and looks to have filled right into herself.
Yeah, for sure. You know, she competed in a couple of those good mares races in the open grade, and. Yes, I mean, as a 2-year-old, she ran sub-53 and still running around that mark, which is sort of an interesting stat, really, to think that she could do it as a 2-year-old. There might be some people out there thinking that maybe she should have lowered that mark as she's got older, but she's definitely got stronger, and, I mean, she's always been a great little racehorse. Had a little problem last start where she got checked on the bend and come out of that with a bit of a hoof injury. But Emma and Clayton assure me that she's well and truly over that. And, yeah, they're expecting good showing from her.
Do you go in with any more pressure because she's the only Metropolitan assessed mare in the series? The next highest assessed horse, she's a C11 M3 Heaven's Trend. The next highest is a C6 Swing With A Star, who's been recently racing in Queensland, and she's a C6. So, yeah. You know, weights and measures, it should be game over. Heaven's Trend should win a semi-final and win a final quite comfortably.
Yeah, no, as you say, stats sort of indicate that that's the way it should be, but it is horse racing, and we just know that it's not that cut and dry. But she's, as far as the pressure goes, no. It's only a mile. Barrier 10 isn't ideal, but that's the conditions of the race. So, you know, we'll deal with that. But, I mean, when you look at it on paper, you know, there's some COs and C1 grade horses there, and I mean the Orange Agent might be who Heaven's Trend has competed against most recently is probably the benchmark mare in Australasia at the moment, so you would think that it's a step down in grade for her, but yeah, over the mile, drawn 10 round an angle, it's not an easy task by any means, but I'm sure that you know, she can make her own luck.
Couple of drives in town in Sydney today for Anton Galino, making the trip up. Dance Craze and Cor Cheval. You also drive Cor Cheval on Saturday night as well. Good connection there with Anton?
Yes, since he located, well, prior to him actually locating to Victoria, I had driven for him when he'd sent horses south before. And they've got a great training base out of Ballarat now, and invested heavily in the trotters. Got a great breeder horse. Results are finally coming their way, and just glad to be part of the team. And these couple here today, Dance Craze, Mr. Victorian Oaks. And when I quizzed him as to why, given the high standing he's got with her in his bunch of fillies, his simple answer was that she hadn't had the racing for that tough race, but believed that she could come up here and win a $30,000 race and go forward from there. So, quite happy, like I say, to be part of the team.
She ran second behind Umbel Alert in the Breed for Speed, or the Need for Speed Princess Final, going back in March, and you drove her on that occasion. There wasn't much between them, and it's funny because when Umbel Alert won the New South Wales Trotters Oaks, I spoke to Anton about, oh, is this your best filly? He goes, oh, no, I think Dance Craze is the better of them. So is Dance Craze, she's the one, she's always had that engine and the ability?
Yeah, well, that's always been the stable's belief, yes, and I mean, the night that the other filly did beat her, I breezed it, and the other filly sat behind the leader, and she beat me sort of half head on the line. The other filly is a great racehorse, as you saw. She's ventured up here and won, and then she come from barrier 11 or 12, won Saturday night at Melton. So, very good filly, but Anton believes that Dance Craze is the pick of them, and, you know, got a great turn of foot, Dance Craze. It's just she hasn't had the probably her manners have deserted her a little bit up to date, but I'm quite sure going forward that she'll get her act together. And she's the older sister of Legrand, who you saw win here the other week. So I'm sure that once she mentally gets it all together, she'll be a top flight horse.
Well, mate, I know you'll be on the track pretty soon. That first race is only just over 50 minutes away. So thanks for your time this morning, and good luck with both Dance Craze this afternoon and also the very talented Heaven's Trend on Saturday night.
Great. It's always a pleasure, Greg. Thank you.
There is Gavin Lang, who drives Dance Craze at 11:45. For Anton Galino, field of five. It's a Group 2 race, as Gav mentioned, $30,000 up for grabs. And Blake Fitzpatrick, who we spoke with on the show last week, has got a couple of the three-year-olds in that, Empire Bay and Pegasus Elegance. So that should be a very good race. But, Saturday night, if you're doing the form, there's a couple of races where you probably don't have to go too deep because, you know, mares like Heaven's Trend do stand out from the crowd. I thought we'd catch up with Darren Elder today. He's the trainer of a 2-year-old that's only lightly raced, had one start, and that was back on the 20th of May. Drew Barrier 9, this was a heat of the Breeders' Challenge. Drew Barrier 9 and just kept going forward and went 154.9, quarters of 28, 29.1, 28.7, 29.1, won by 13 metres and was a $20 shot on debut. Comes now for the semi-finals of the Breeders' Challenge. Darren Elder, the trainer, is joining me. Morning, Darren.
Morning, Greg.
Bright Energy, was that a surprise for the stable on debut?
No, not at all. He had two trials and he won them pretty convincing, even though his time wasn't over great. But the way the horse was working all the way up to it and we thought he was actually a good chance.
So off the back of that, he's run time. He's shown speed. He's done what you like. What are your thoughts going into Saturday night semi-finals?
Oh, we're actually pretty confident. Eh? There's some nice horses there, like Fine State. But we took him to Menangle last Tuesday and trialled him. We trialled against Mark Burden's horse, and it beat him half a neck. And we basically took him down there because he's only ever been in the float for like 20 minutes or so to get into Newcastle for half an hour. And give him the float ride, a look at the track, and to get Brad to give him a sit because he flies out of the gate and he's always just charging away. And Brad led by about 5 lengths and he was strangling him until Mark's horse went around. Luke was driving it. And he worked up the lane real good. We're real happy.
Yeah.
We need to be, I think.
Well, 27-2 that last quarter. And considering what Brad had to do in the early stages to get the horse to come back underneath him, He looks untapped. He looks a really nice prospect going forward.
Well, I don't think at this stage he's been touched with a whip. I'm not even sure if Brad even flipped him on it the other day to see what he did because he's never had one put on him.
So obviously the Breeders' Challenge is the main goal at this stage. Will that be the end of the season for him? Will you give him a break and bring him back as a 3-year-old after that?
I'd say that'll be the card. I've spoken to my brother Mick. But I'd say that's what he'll be doing with him.
Yeah. You've also got the first emergency, a shark. It's only had a couple of starts. Do you have an opinion of it?
Yeah, well, it's a nice little horse. He's a little bit erratic. His mother was crazy. But the other day you couldn't take a guide at Newcastle. It was fairly wet. And his first start, he ran fourth to Bright Energy, and he sort of didn't pace all that good. He's pacing a lot better now. And no, look, he's not a bad little horse. He'll be a real nice horse to be older.
You've got a couple of runners going around today. First Fleeter goes around in a heat of the Breeders' Challenge, race number 8. His form is good. He's won 2 of his last 5. He ran 3rd last time out. What do you think his chances are?
Oh, real good. He's one of the most honest horses we've had for a long time. Every time he goes to the track, he gives you 100%. He's only little, like he's a midget, but, you know, he's got a big motor.
Okay, and Just a Rumour goes around in race number 9. It's drawn well with the one out, comes into barrier number 2. It was a winner 2 starts ago and then down the track last time out.
Yeah, he was down the track last time in the Country Series final. He got a bit sideways when the gate went. He's a nice horse without being a superstar. But, you know, he's going to get a nice run today. He's up a long way in grade, I think, with some of them horses are nice horses. But, yeah, we've got our fingers crossed.
It's a long way to Menangle for, you know, like last week, obviously you brought the 2-year-old down to trial, but it is a long way down to Menangle to race. It must get tough, you know, turning the float down the freeway to head to Sydney all the time.
Yeah, well, I've had to do it a few times now. And Shannon's a blast and going down all the time with him, so we know the road pretty well. You can do it while you're sleeping now.
Yeah, how is Shannon's a blast?
Good. He had 3 weeks off and he's just came back now and he's all good. He's a lot brighter in himself. I think he just needed a bit of a break. And, we'll get him up and going in the next couple of weeks and see how we're going.
All right. Well, good luck today. Good luck on Saturday night. And we'll keep a very close watch on that 2-year-old.
Thanks very much.
There he is, Darren Elder. It got my interest because of what he did on debut. He goes around as a $20 pop and he comes out and he absolutely streets his rivals. He drew barrier 9. and he was just unwanted in the betting. And then now he comes to Menangle on Saturday night for the semi-finals. The stable have obviously thought long and hard about it, and they've said, righto, we need to get him down there. We need to get him around that Menangle track, let him have a look. So they bring him down 10 days, a week and a half before he is due to go around in that semi-final. Look, he's a good story. He's what's the Breeders' Challenge is all about. Obviously, the stars of the show, there's all the big stables will be represented, but that's what this Breeders' Challenge is all for. Everyone getting a chance to race for the big money. Cozzy, that about wraps me up for a Tuesday. I'll be back on In the Gig tonight from 6 o'clock, Sky Racing 2. Full wrap-up of the Harness Jewels and of course, all of the racing from around Australia as well. So looking forward to bringing you all that.